verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name himself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. And in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. And reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 48. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing your praises. Amen. We have the continuing of this theme. We have the continuing of this theme of the disciples not quite getting it, not quite understanding what's going on. I'd like to talk a bit about how we think, just for a little bit, from what we're learning. Next slide. In some ways, well, we're incredibly limited. We try to make sense of an enormous universe with that little bit of water with attitude that's in our skulls. Water with a very high self-opinion of itself. We each have our worldviews. We each have the things that we've learnt are true and the things that we know work. And that builds up, that's part of our culture, our family background, our experiences, our education. We all have a point of view. Next slide. And what they tell us is that when we get information in, when we see something with our own eyes or someone tells something, if it's pretty well in line with what we already understand, we take that in and we use that to build up our way we imagine the world works, the way we understand the world works. But if it doesn't, we just go, oh, must be wrong. If it doesn't, we'll often reject that, or we'll just sit with that and let it challenge. Next slide. But then there are events. There are events that really shake that up. And I can tell this story because we had a couple of funerals here over the last couple of weeks, but a grieving member of the family said at one of the funerals the day after their partner passed. They'd come home, they'd passed away in a hospital. And the day after, he rang the hospital to go, what do I do next? And the hospital go, what's your name? And he gives his name and goes, what's the deceased's name? And he gives her name. And the hospital goes, we don't have that person. At which he went, that's great. All of this has been a horrible nightmare. And I don't have to face up to this. And continued on in that for a couple of minutes until he realised he'd rung the wrong hospital. And then the whole world came crashing down on him again. We make mistakes like that when we grieve because our whole way of understanding the world has been thrown out. Our brains just are not working. And after an event like that, our brains just do not work properly for quite some time. That's just part of the human experience. But then that's what the disciples went through, isn't it? They went through this experience, and one can only imagine what a privilege it was to see Jesus in full flight, to be there with him as he healed people, to be there with him as he reached out and forgave people who the world imagined were completely unforgivable, as he talked and convinced of a different way of life in God's name. For someone living that perspective, the events of Holy Week must have seemed like a sudden interruption. The whole system had fallen down. This whole ministry had collapsed in a heap. Next slide. They definitely weren't in Kansas anymore. And let's admit it, we find ourselves in those places too, don't we? But then we have these wonderful stories of them putting their world back together again. Christ is risen and he comes and appears among them. I didn't tell you what the just before of that story is. The story is two blokes have come puffed out. They've just run 9 miles from Emmaus. And told the disciples, Jesus has risen, he's appeared to us. And they're going, what? And Jesus appears among them too. And has to do what the magicians would call a prover. Just to prove he wasn't a ghost, he has to eat a bit of fish. Just to make sure they knew he was real. Between then and this story we see in Acts, something has changed. Next slide. In some ways, that process has reversed that the worldview, we can't exist without assumptions. we've got to have an approximation of how the universe works for us to be able to do anything. So they've put their worldview back together again. And now, isn't it amazing? The events of the cross have to be rethought. In the teaching they're giving here, it's not the confusion we hear around the tomb. It's that the cross is an integral part. We need the Holy Spirit's help for us, just as they do, to see that the presence of the risen Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit are integral for us to understand our world, just as much as they needed to make sense of their world. You know, I spoke before of how hard must it have been for them to re-enter the temple. How hard would it be to allow the same people who killed your mate to be an intermediary between you and God, to listen to their teaching and obey their rules? But they were there. Because in this, we actually hear them retell their story. They go, the resurrection convinced them that this Jesus is the Christ. This Jesus is the risen one. And he came so that we may know God's life, God's forgiveness, and grace among all grace. That forgiveness they proclaimed that day extends even to the people who participated. Are they telling them to ignore the facts of history? In fact, I think he's rather brutal there, isn't it? You did this. Pilate was ready to let him go, but you said, no, we'd rather have a murderer. I think there's still quite a bit of understandable bitterness there. But at the end, the message is, just going to duck back to the reading. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him the perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. It's a cliche, but it truly is amazing grace, isn't it? Here's a quote. The World Council of Churches this week has been celebrating the 98th birthday of Jürgen Moltmann, one of the most influential ecumenical theologians of recent decades. He says, in the cross of Christ, God is taking humanity dead seriously so that he may open up for us the happy freedom of Easter. God takes upon himself the pain of negation and the God-forsakenness of judgment to reconcile himself with his enemies and to give the godless fellowship with himself. A long way of saying pretty much what Peter has just said. We come. We remember. And also, we're challenged. We're challenged that the life of that risen Christ, just as was seen in those who acted in faith to him then, through the Holy Spirit, still lives in us today. Just as these men, albeit very special men, were called to carry the truth of Jesus Christ out into their world, so are we. And I pray that we may know that presence of Christ so well, that we may bring healing and hope and new life and joy into all the places we go, not everywhere, not through our power, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's pray.